anointed in blood, partially obscured by scudding clouds of smoke and shimmering heat haze, Angron bellowed.
Vulcan!
His voice was like the fall of cities, rumbling and booming across the vast battlefield. Angron jabbed down to his brother with one of the motorized axes he carried. Its blade was burring, roaring for blood.
I name you High Rider!
Spittle frothed the Red Primarch's lips. His oversized musculature, seemingly too tight for his vein-threaded skin, rippled. Thick ropes of sinew stood out on his neck. A scarred and war-beaten face, framed by the nest of scalp locks, snaking back across his head, tensed as Angron's eyes widened. Further down the slope, Vulcan gripped the haft of his hammer and went to meet his brother's challenge. Numion saw it all and almost urged his Primarch to hold. An arcing missile salvo from one of the traitor gun emplacements forced the pyre captain's attention skywards. He tracked the spear-headed missile all the way down, following its trajectory until it struck part of the slope between the two Primarchs. A firestorm lit the hillside. Several tons of incendiary ordnance expressed in the expansive bloom of conflagration. It swept outwards in a turbulent wave, bathing the lower part of the slope in heat and flame. This was nothing compared to its epicenter. Fire drakes were immolated in that blast, blown apart and burned to ash in their Terminator armor. 100 dying sunsets faded from Numion's sight. Blinking back the savage afterglow, he saw Vulcan wreathed in flames, but stepping from the blaze unharmed. The remaining fire drakes gathered to him, tramping over the dead where they had to. Badly burned, the Ravagers were still fighting. The Pyre Guard and some of Hecatan's men finished them before Numion led the warriors after their lord. Varun was limping. Atenarius clutched his side but clung to his blade determinedly with one hand.
"Are we whole, brothers?"
Numion quickly asked. Atenarius nodded. Varun gave a mocking laugh.
"Perhaps we should look to increasing our ranks when this is over."
Gan came to his side, not supporting the veteran, but keeping watch.
"Are you my protector, brother?"
Varun asked.
"Not remotely," snarled Gan,
but didn't leave him. Igataron said nothing and merely glowered. His eyes behind his retinal lenses always seemed to burn brighter than his brother's. Mauled as they had been by the world-eaters, Numion knew his warriors had suffered, but would not stop until they were dead or the battle was over. But it was grievously attritional, and he was not ashamed to admit relief when he heard the reinforcements coming in to make planetfall behind them. Hundreds of landers and drop pods choked the already suffocating sky, emblazoned with the iconography of the Alpha Legion, Iron Warriors, Word-Bearers, and Night Lords. Even the sight of Conrad Kurz's legion gave Numion hope that the battle could be won and Horus brought to heel at last. Vulcan had seen the arrival of his brothers and their legions too, though he gave no outward sign of relief or premature triumph. He merely watched impassively as the manifold shuttles touched down and the loyalists took up position on the edge of the depression. Of Angron, there was no sign. The firestorm had beaten him back, it seemed, and now, with the arrival of 4 more legions, the Lord of the Red Sands had ordered a retreat. Grainy static preceded the opening of the Voxlink. All the Pyre Guard heard it too, though it was on Vulcan's channel. The Primarch's view that there could be no secrets from his inner circle. Through the choppy return, the Gorgon's voice thundered.
"The enemy is beaten!"
His anger was obvious, his desire for retribution palpable. Lord Manus wanted blood to salve his wounded pride.
See how they run from us, he continued, an eager fervor affecting him. Now we push on. Let none escape our vengeance.
Numion exchanged a glance with Varun. The veteran was badly wounded, but able to fight on. Atanarius was also struggling, whilst Skatarvar stayed close to his brother, Leodrak, on account of his injuries. With reinforcements ready to deploy, it made sense to fall back and consolidate. Pressing the advance now yielded only glory and profligate death. Vulcan was impassive, betraying none of his thoughts as he allowed Korax to speak up.
Hold, Ferus. The victory may yet be ours, but let our allies earn their share of honor in this battle. We have achieved a great victory, but not without cost. My legion is bloodied and torn, as is Vulcan's.
Again the Primarch kept his own counsel as the Raven Lord concluded his speech.
I cannot imagine yours has not shed a great deal of blood to carry us this far.
Lord Manus was belligerent, but Vulcan chose that moment to give voice.
We are bloodied but unbowed, he said calmly, making the most of the enemy's retreat and the brief cessation in the fighting, as are we all. We should take a moment to catch our breath and bind our wounds before again diving headlong into such terrible battle,
the cost of which lay all around, clad in bloody green armor.
We must consolidate what we have won, Vulcan suggested, and let our newly arrived brothers continue the fight while we regroup. But the Gorgon smelled blood and would not relent. No, the traitors are beaten, and all it will take is one final push to destroy them utterly.
Korax tried a last attempt at reason.
Ferus, do not do anything foolish. We have already won.
It was to no avail, as the link to the Iron Hands Primarch went dead.
Our brother has overmuch pride, Corvus, said Vulcan candidly.
He will get himself killed.
He's too tough for that, Vulcan said,
but Numion heard the lie in his words, the hollow tone of his voice.
I won't be dragged in with him, Vulcan. I won't lead my sons into another meat grinder for the sake of his pride.
Then hope reinforcement reaches him quickly, for he won't be dissuaded by you or I.
I am converging on the drop site. Will I meet you there?